I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we kick off a blockbuster weekend across Scottish football. Midweek European qualifiers mean a quieter top flight Saturday with Killie, Ross County, Livy St Mirren and St Johnstone against Dundee. The transfer deadline has now passed, so teams up and down the country have their squads settled for the next few months. And on to tomorrow, the small matter of Rangers against Celtic. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Let's be honest, let's be perfectly honest, we're all here marking
time. Don't do
it,
don't do it. I know what you're going to say. You're about to disrespect the fans of six teams who are playing in the Premiership today.
No, I wasn't, because you never give anyone a chance to say what they're intending to say. I'll start again. Let's be brutally honest, we're all here marking time until the big picture at 12 o'clock tomorrow at Ibrox. However, what makes it interesting while we mark time is what's going on in the Premiership today. Ross County, they're quids in before they even kick a ball against Kilmarnock. Their former striker Ross Stewart has gone from Sunderland to Southampton, and Ross County, because of a sell-on clause, are £1.5 million better off. Malky Mackay would probably rather have 3 points at Rugby Park. St Johnstone can move further away from the bottom of the league table after their goalless draw at Celtic Park, when they take on the St Johnstone at Dundee at St Johnstone. And feeling like $1 million would be Stephen Robinson if St Mirren can beat Livy and go top of the league table. And then we can all get to the derby that neither Michael Beale nor Brendan Rodgers dare lose.
You're right, that was worth waiting for, Mark Wilson. What a weekend we've got.
Yeah, there's only one derby in town this weekend. It's a Tayside derby. St Johnstone v Dundee. And by the way, two of them coming off the back of a good result last week. 0-0 St Johnstone, Celtic Park. Dundee beating Hearts.
He's trying.
Ah, well, I'm just going for a different angle for you.
I was looking down my fixture. I was going, where's the derby?
There, you don't know your stuff like me up Tayside. And for Kilmarnock, Ross County, two of them disappointing results last week. Ross County beaten against Rangers. Kilmarnock up against Motherwell and then lost the game. And Livy v St Mirren. Well, St Mirren could say they were happy last week with a draw against Aberdeen, but Livy, what a result against Hibs. 3-2, can they build on that this afternoon? And maybe the game of the day in the Championship, Dundee United against Airdrie. There's got to be goals in that one.
If the football's as good as the weather outside, I think we're in for a cracking afternoon. Plenty of goals, I agree with Mark. I think there's some good fixtures there, but there's also a lot of good fixtures in that Championship and down the leagues.
Indeed there is. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a busy Saturday, probably an even busier Sunday in this part of the world, but this is your starter ahead of that one tomorrow. And of course, Hugh, when you think about the week that we've just had, one of the busiest weeks of all time, really, when you think about European qualifiers and Scotland squads and deadline days and European draws and all the rest of it. It's been quite a time.
We have to be honest with ourselves. The performance of our teams in Europe was hopeless, pathetic. It's not about the image of Scottish football. You simply have to tell the truth. If you don't defend at one end of the park and you don't take your chances at the other end of the park, that's you. You're done for. And now we know that Celtic will kick off their Champions League campaign away to Feyenoord. Toughest possible start for them. And Rangers will be at home to Real Betis in the Europa League, which is again a good indication of how that group will go for them. So Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibs all lick their wounds, and there'll be special scrutiny on the Aberdeen-Hibs game tomorrow, and also when Motherwell go to Tynecastle, because Hearts right now are a poor lot.
Yeah, pretty sobering week for us in terms of the European action. We always like to big ourselves up, and we give everybody a pat in the back when they get into these European competitions, and when they show up, some of them quite good in the first leg, like Aberdeen did, and then they come back and put on such a disappointing display, then you know, we're right to call it out for what it is. Great getting there, great getting the prestige, but we need to find a way to make the next step in qualifying for tournaments that these teams are in, never mind dropping down a level as a consolation prize. So Rangers and Aberdeen and obviously Hibs and Hearts, we must do better when we get to the
also,
big stage.
I like your point that we have to be perfectly honest about ourselves. We don't have the technique. We simply don't. We can't match these foreign teams, and that clearly includes Rangers, who lost seven goals.
What alarmed me, who was watching all those games, I didn't look at one team and think, bit unlucky, could have went for them.
Oh, Aberdeen would fall into that, surely.
I thought
they were close. Performance-wise,
I thought that game, you know, with the threat that they had, I just thought the opposition looked that they could rise above that again, go another gear. I really did, Gordon. I never thought for 1 minute Aberdeen were going to get through there.
I know Barry Hibs, Robson,
Hearts and Rangers outplayed. Yeah. That's a worrying, alarming things for me.
Anyway, Barry, I thought we, in an alternative universe, we maybe arrive here today going, oh, what a transfer deadline day that was. We were all up to midnight, we're shattered this morning. It was blockbuster stuff. I think it sort of creaked gently closed rather than slammed shut.
Paolo Bernardo was the last of it all. By the same token, Celtic and Rangers have spent, by Scottish standards, a fortune. Celtic up to £18 million, I think, in terms of their transfer business. Rangers have spent a lot of money by their standards as well. Paolo Bernardo, the question for me now, Louis Palma, Paolo Bernardo, would Brendan Rodgers be tempted to throw one or both into the game at Ibrox tomorrow?
That is a good question, and I'm sure we will debate the answers long into this afternoon, because not only do we have good fixtures to look forward to today, lots of news stories to look back on from the week that's just been. As Hugh quite rightly alluded to, there are a few questions to be answered ahead of tomorrow's match at Ibrox as well. So you can stay in touch all afternoon at Clyde SSB on Twitter. I'll give you the nod when the open line is here. And let's get stuck right in. Let's do some team news around the grounds then. Kilmarnock against Ross County. Gabriel is there for us.
Yes, I am, Gordon. It's a beautiful, sunny day down here in Ayrshire. It's a great time to be a Kilmarnock fan at the moment. Supporters just starting to stream into the stadium now. And the club have just broken a 30-year season ticket sales record. That's how impressive their start to the season has been. Of course, beating both of the Old Firm clubs and drawing away at Hearts as well. However, their loss at Motherwell last weekend means they only have 4 points to show for their start to the campaign. Manager Derek McInnes is desperate to pick up another three here today to propel them up that league table. He makes only one change to last weekend's side. Tom Davies comes in for his full debut. Club captain Kyle Vassell is out of the squad altogether. And it looks like it's going to be a 4-5-1 formation for Killy today, but we know they are quite fluid with that back three or four. It's Will Dennis in goal. Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dee, Stuart Finlay and Tom Davies make up the defence. Daniel Armstrong will be on one wing with Matty Kennedy on the other. David Watson, Brad Lyons and Kyle McGuinness in the middle. Marley Watkins leads the line. Now, Dallas joined the club late last night. He was actually the final addition for any Premiership club of the transfer window. He is among the substitutes, as are O'Hara, Wright, Sanders, McKenzie, Polworth, Murray, Warnock and Cameron. And Ross County arrive here 2 places below Killy in the table. They've only won one of their opening 3 matches with 3 points to show for it. However, 2 of those games were against Celtic and Rangers. And Malky Mackay makes 3 changes to his team from 7 days ago. Turner Reid and Nightingale come in for Sims, Harmon and Loturi. So the team is as follows. Ross Laidlaw in goal. The defence is James Brown, Jack Baldwin, Ryan Leake, Josh Reid and Will Nightingale. Kyle Turner, Connor Randall and Jan Dander in midfield. Simon Murray and Jordan White are up top. Deadline day signing Scott High also makes the bench. He's joined by Munro, Purrington, Sims, Loturi, Harmon, Henderson, Brophy and Smith. Now the referee will be Kevin Clancy. Greg Aitken is the VAR. Now Ross County haven't won here in 6 years, Gordon. Can they change that today? That's the big question. We'll find out shortly. Kickoff is under an hour away.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Mark, you think Gabriel hits the nail on the head. Of course, Kilmarnock's start to the season has been great and they've played tough opposition. But very quickly, the games catch up on you, and you think, well, you know, four, if it was to be 4 points after today, it then kind of stops becoming a particularly impressive start to the season.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. No doubt about it. I mean, last week, going away to Motherwell, it's always a tough fixture, that. And Motherwell, when they come back and nick it in the last minute, that result takes on a different kind of significance. But today, when you're at home against Ross County, if Derek McInnes has any aspirations of finishing the top six, with a lot of the signings he's made, it looks that as his aim, and maybe even push that further, then he has to win home games, and particularly against those who will finish below him. I believe Ross County will finish below Kilmarnock this season, but these are the games you must win, and Derek will be reeling that to his team, because it's no point, you know, beating Celtic in the cup, beating Rangers at home in the league, if you're going to then start falling away against Motherwell and Ross County. So they have to get it right this afternoon.
Home form is so good, of course, Gordon, last season.
Well, I've started off three games. I've got a full house. I've won one, I've drew one, I've lost one. I think Mark's right. If you're going to be challengers, and everybody's got one eye in Kilmarnock, especially the way they've started beating Celtic and Rangers, then you've got to go and win these games, especially against Ross County. You don't want to be waking up at 5 o'clock tonight and realise that Ross County have leapfrogged you, and all of a sudden everybody talking about this terrific start that Kilmarnock's made. No longer there.
Okay, we've given you, sorry Hugh, we've given teams against Killy Ross County. I was going to move on quickly to Livy St Mirren, where David Friel is watching.
Yeah, Gordon, the good news for St Mirren yesterday, the great news, Stephen Robinson, Manager of the Month award for August. I think it was a deserved award, but the bad news is there's plenty of doommongers out there, there's plenty of ones that look at the negatives in life and believe that award comes with a curse, and that Livy will win today off the back of it. We will see. But as you said, Ellis, St Mirren can go top with a win, so there's so much at stake for Stephen Robinson and his players. They're unbeaten in the three league games so far. They were seconds away from making it three wins in a row before Aberdeen equalised with the last kick of the ball last week. That was a huge blow, but it's still been a fine start for St Mirren through in the League Cup as well. They've got a really settled side now. Mark O'Hara's out, but they've not really missed him. You can understand why Hibs have been credited with an interest in Stephen Robinson. He's a top manager, he's doing wonders in Paisley, and if he keeps this up, it's going to be hard for St Mirren to keep hold of him. Quite into the window for St Mirren, but I don't really think Stephen Robinson felt he had to add anything. They're stuck with the same team that drew with Aberdeen last week. Zach Hemming in goals, Marcus Fager, Alec Gogic and Richard Taylor at the back, Ryan Strain, Keanu Backus, Caelan Boyd Munson, Scott Tanzer in the middle, with Conor McMenamin and Greg Kilty in behind. Toyosu Olasanya. Subs for St Mirren are Kelly Small, Jameson Bolton, Lennon Grieve, Dunn Flynn and Namani. As for Livy, they come into this game with a lot of confidence as well. Obviously beat Hibs 3-2 last week. That done for Lee Johnson, that spelled the end of his era. David Martindale's obviously going to be looking to build on that this week. It was a quiet end to the window for them as well. Experienced Englishman Danny Lloyd came in, but that was it. The positive though for Livy is they managed to keep a hold of Joel Nubley. I think David did his best to try and sell him. He mentioned him in every press conference. He obviously would have welcomed the cash, but Livy are certainly a stronger side with the forwards saying. They have also kept the same team from last week. Shamal George in goals, Louis DeLucas, Ayo Obalai, Mikey Devlin at the back, with Jamie Brandon, Jason Holt, Andrew Shinnett and James Penrice in the middle, Scott Pittman and Joel Nubley in behind Curtis Guthrie. Subs for Livy are Hamilton, Parks, Lawal, Kelly, Sangari, Lloyd, Bradley, Mackay and Anderson. The referee is Nick Walsh and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
How likely is it that Hibs do ask the question to Stephen Robinson, David Friel? How likely would it be, if it even got to that stage, that he would say yes? How do you view those links?
Yeah, it's credible links, of course. I mean, I think Hibs would be daft not to at least ask the question. For me, Hibs probably were too quick to get rid of Jack Ross, Gordon. They then went down the young manager out in Sean Maloney. That didn't work. They then go down south to Championship League One with Lee Johnson. That didn't work. So for me, go for a tried and tested manager in the Premiership, whether that's Stephen Robinson, whether that's Derek McInnes. Someone of that ilk, I think, is who Hibs should be going. Malcolm Mackay is another one who'll get a mention. Obviously, Neil Lennon, former manager. You know, Hibs still have, you know, a lot of fond memories of his time. It didn't end well, but he's got a lot of friends at the club. I don't think a lot of fans would be unhappy to see Neil Lennon back, so I'm sure he's a contender as well. And just on Neil Lennon, I meant to say it, one of the St Mirren substitutes today is Lennon, and it is Gallagher Lennon, Neil Lennon's son.
That makes you feel old, Hugh Evans.
Well, nothing makes me feel old because I am.
That's when I used to. I used to watch him in the gym. Remember when I was doing my rehab?
So, you got reduced. So you went from first team player to sub to babysitter
to nursery teacher. Aye.
You know, but David Friel went through a list of names there, potential candidates for the Hibs job. David Martindale. David Martindale was a medical worker. Now, it may be that the only place he fits is Livingston. And maybe that's an impression that he gives off to other people. But David Martindale, based on what he's done at Livingston, deserves to be in the frame for that.
Fine
job.
Then. Winner gets the Hibs job.
Well,
a 90-minute shootout. Let's do it.
I think Stephen Robinson will remain. Having told you that Lee Johnson wouldn't be the Hibs
you
manager,
you did this time
weekend,
last week. You called it.
I think Stephen Robinson will remain the St Mirren manager, and I think the Hibs will go elsewhere for their man.
Well, there we are. One other game in the top flight. It's the big derby that Mark Wilson was talking about. St Johnstone Dundee. Fraser Wishart is there.
It is the big derby. I think Mark might have had his tongue in cheek when he was talking about it, but it's a big game in this area of the country, and Dundee fans will be here in numbers, and it's unusual for a club of Dundee's size. If you look at St Mirren and Motherwell, whatever else, St Johnstone don't usually open their away end, but there'll be a big Dundee crowd here, and they don't like each other, the supporters, apparently. I don't know why, but as you said earlier, Gordon, the transfer window's closed. I think that's much to the relief of the people behind the scenes at both these clubs who do all the paperwork, because between them they've signed 27 players, an amazing turnover of players over this summer. St Johnstone with 11 new signings, and Dundee, although they got newly promoted and they were very successful last year, have got rid of a whole team and brought in 16, and you can only imagine there might be a few more free agents to come. So Steve McLean, Tony Docherty can't complain about the backing they've been given by their boards, and it's now up to them as coaches to mould all these new players into a successful team. And Tony Docherty at Dundee has made a decent start to that, a good start to the season, and they come here on the back of an excellent win against Hearts last week, 4 points, 3 games. I think Tony Docherty will be happy with his team's form. Luke McCown's been their star man so far, assist for the equaliser on the first day of the season against Motherwell, and then that brilliant goal last week against Hearts, the winner, and so St Johnstone will have to stop him and his creative talent and his goal threat, obviously. And St Johnstone, as we've spoken about, awful start to the season in the League Cup, and then lost the first two league games quite heavily. But Steve McLean put 8 of his new signings in the team last week, and it paid off. They got a point at Celtic Park, but we still have to say they've not scored a league goal in those 3 games. So it's a different type of game. They could sit back last week and just soak up the pressure of today. They'll be expected and certainly need to make something happen at the other end of the park. And for St Johnstone, that's always been their problem, is scoring goals. Where will it come from? Steve McLean added Sven Spangler, a midfield player, and Dayalan Jayasemi to the squad, who's a winger, but neither of them are in the squad today. So it's up to Stevie May, who returns, and subs Luke Jeffcott and Chris Kane to get the goals. Pitch looking magnificent. Sunshine and hopefully an exciting game, although I don't expect a lot of goals today. It's always tight between these two, and there might just be one goal in it for either side will settle the game. For St Johnstone, they made 2 changes from the team that got a point at Celtic Park. Brown and May come in, Olufunwa and Jeffcott drop to the bench. 4-3-3 formation. Dimitar Mitrov is in goals, back 4 of James Brown, Sam McClellan, Andy Constantine and Luke Robinson. Across the middle, Matt Smith, Dan Phillips and Graham Carey, with Dara Costello, Stevie May and Jay Turner-Cook as the forwards. The substitutes for St Johnstone: Dave Richards, Tony Gallagher, Liam Gordon, Cammy McPherson, Chris Kane, Max Kurachevi, Luke Jeffcott, Oladare Olufunwo and Cammy Ballantyne. 1 change from Dundee, from the team at Beat Hearts. Ricky Lamy comes in for his debut, and Cammy Kerr drops to the bench, and that signals a change of formation to a 3-4-1-2. Trevor Carson in goals, a back 3 of Jordan McGee, Joe Shocknessy and Ricky Lamy. Across the middle, Luke McCowan, Finlay Robertson, Malachy Boateng and Owen Beck, with Scott Tiffany off the front 2 of Zach Robinson and Amadou Bakayoko. Dundee subs: Adam Ledgkins, Cammy Kerr, Lyle Cameron, Lee Ashcroft, Josh Mulligan, Charlie Riley, Zach Rudden, new signing Ryan Howley on loan from Coventry, and Mohamed Sila. And the referee today at McDermott Park is Willie Collum, and the VAR is also a very experienced man in John Beaton.
No controversy there, I'm sure. Dundee United against Airdrie is our featured championship game, under the watchful eye of Dave Galloway.
Yeah, Gordon, Dundee United appear to be finding their feet after a losing start to the season that included that nightmare League Cup loss to Spartans that caused uproar among their support. They've enjoyed 4 wins and a draw in their last 5 games. That draw coming in the previous home game when a 95th minute goal made 1-1 against Dunfermline, watched by a healthy 9,000 strong crowd. And another decent attendance is expected here again this afternoon for the visit of an Airdrie side geared up for entertaining attacking football. Remarkably, the Diamonds have scored in their last 37 matches, so hopefully everything is lined up for a cracking Tannadice tussle. Dundee United make just the 1 change. It's Kieran Freeman in for Ross Doherty. Jack Walton is in goals. Across the back, Kieran Freeman, Declan Gallagher, Kevin Holt and Scott McMahon. The sitters: Declan Glass and Liam Grimshaw. And it's Glenn Middleton, Tony Watts and Matt. Matthew Cujo, with Louis Molt leading the line. The substitutes, and it's really nice to see that seven of the United substitutes are from the club's academy. They are academy graduates, so it's Newman, Denham, Graham, Meekison, Fotheringham, Duffy, McLeod, Mwangi and Constable. As for Airdrie, well, they bring in Mason Hancock and 18-year-old Liam McStavrick, a new arrival from Linfield, the Belfast-born right-winger. He confidently describes himself as magic. Big words. Let's see if he can deliver on the pitch. Outdrop Craig Watson and Adam Frizzell. So it's Josh Ray in goals. Across the back, Cammy Ballantyne, Callum Fordyce, Craig Watson and Aaron Taylor-Sinclair. Midfield, Liam McStavrick, Murray Aiken and Dean McMaster. Up top, it's the three of Gabriel McGill, Callum Gallagher and Lewis McGregor. The subs for Airdrie today: Hutton, McCabe, O'Connor, Todorov, Watson, Dunlop, Gallagher, that's Gavin Gallagher, Cassidy and Spalding. And your match referee at gloriously sunny Tannadice is Chris Graham.
That's you up to speed with your team news then in the 3 o'clock featured matches on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'll go over the week's biggest talking points next.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Setting up for a nice Saturday afternoon card in the Premiership. Just the three games, a featured match for us at Tannadice as well, and big games beyond down the divisions. Scottish Cup Day as well, of course, isn't it? So some interesting ties to look forward to. Don't think I've forgotten that there are some big fixtures tomorrow that I've heard about that we will preview in depth as the show goes on. But at this stage on a Saturday, we always tend to talk about the week's biggest talking points. To be honest, wouldn't even really know where to start because there are so many. What about rate the transfer window for some of our bigger sides, David Friel?
Rate the transfer window, what a question that is, Gordon. I know a lot of the talk in the last sort of 72 hours has been about Celtic's transfer window. I find that a bit puzzling. There's a lot of money being spent, a lot of players bought, but I will parrot what every club and every manager says at the start of the window. They want to come out the window stronger than they were at the start, and I'm not sure Celtic necessarily are. Brendan Rodgers said about 10 days ago, maybe 8 days ago, that Celtic were actually weaker than last season. He's since added Lewis Palma, Nat Phillips as emergency centre-half and Paulo Bernardo. Time will tell, Gordon, where they are upgrades and where these guys will be the match winners, the quality they asked for. But I know the market Celtic are in. I understand the model, and Celtic need to develop young players. They can't afford the wages of the £15 million players, as Brendan Rodgers was talking about yesterday. I just felt there might be a bit more of a balance. You know, I don't think they had to sign so many players that are classed as projects. I just thought Celtic maybe find some more experience and quality somewhere. Or, sorry, ready-made players that can go into the team. A lot of them I see just now in the first couple of months of the season will just be squad players, and that did surprise me. Also, just to finish on Celtic, I also thought certain other positions would be upgraded, potentially goalkeeper, potentially a kind of more competition for Kyogo, and that didn't happen either, so I was a bit surprised by that.
I wonder if that actually is the key, because you could distort this, David, factually, and say, well, Carl Starfelt left and was replaced, and Celtic ended up signing three centre backs. So, you know, they're not missed out there. Aaron Moy retired, but Holm and Bernardo were signed. Jota, I think, obviously was the high profile one. I think, is it three wingers have been signed if you add up Yang, Palma, and the lesser spotted at the moment, Tilio. So actually, it's not like Celtic in a numbers game are down in any way, but if you add into that some fans wanted a new goalkeeper and they wanted a new left back, and maybe wanted a new striker, is that where the frustration maybe kicks in?
Yeah, I think so. That's my point. If you include Tomoki Awata, whose loan was made permanent, Celtic have signed 10 players. 4 are centre midfielders, 3 are wingers, and 3 are centre halves. So that's my point. They've obviously targeted specific areas, but I think a lot of people watching Celtic would think that maybe other areas, not that there's a million things wrong with them, but just maybe needed upgraded. Gordon, I remember sitting with Ange Postecoglou maybe May time, just before he went to Spurs, and he was asked about the transfer window coming up, and you know, there was still this pretense that he wasn't going to go to Spurs, and he said Celtic can't stand still, you need to move on, you need to look at players to take you up a level. I'm just not sure so far that they have looked. Time will tell. Paulo Bernardo might be the next Jota. Luis Palma might be an absolute superstar. We don't know. I think people watching it, from journalists to fans to everybody, just expected, with Brendan Rodgers coming back, Celtic to maybe sign players of just a little bit more experience and guaranteed quality. I think there's a lot of unknowns within the Celtic signing policy, and you know, if it doesn't go well over the next few months, then I think this transfer window will be scrutinised even more than it is right now.
It's a funny thing with Celtic, you know, they always go on about the model, being to buy small, sell big. They've turned down £10 million for Matt O'Reilly, and they've also turned down a reported bid of £7 million for Lille Abada. So they could have made £17 million but didn't take the opportunity. With regard to those who have come in, there are a lot of apprentices in there when Celtic need time-served journeymen.
Do you think they do, though? This is the difficulty, isn't it? Because David said something there about guaranteed quality, and I was keen to let you come in. I was going to say to David, though, what is guaranteed quality at a Scottish Premiership club?
Well, Celtic now have the dual responsibility of trying to retain the Premiership title and a Champions League group, which I think is very demanding. I think Lazio, Atletico Madrid and Feyenoord adds up to a real ordeal for Celtic. And we'll know right away when Celtic go to the Netherlands to play Feyenoord in the first match. I look at, David's quite right, there may be superstars in there eventually, but in the here and now, the window has closed. There is no backup goalkeeper to Joe Hart. There is no backup for Kyogo. My opinion, one man's personal opinion, I don't think O is good enough to play for Celtic. And Celtic have let that chance go by, and the window is closed, and they have the league and the Champions League to come with the apprentices and not the time served.
I think everybody makes a judgment. Hugh's made it very quickly on O. I think that he is good enough to play with Celtic on. I think he needs a bit of time. I think he needs a run of games. Obviously, a wee bit of injury is not helping. Look, we can't tell if these guys are going to be superstars at Celtic, right? Celtic believe that these are the players. They're young. They've got bags of energy. Brendan Rodgers will be working with them in the training ground to make them better, to fit into the team. So we don't know how they're going to respond. Where I will agree with the guys is, the one position that I thought they would have went and strengthened as well, as much as I still like O, was the centre-forward situation.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, I'm a bit in between O. I think Daz is right. He needs probably a wee bit of time. And again, I argue that we sometimes give players too much time. But I don't see O pushing Kyogo the way Giakoumakis pushed Kyogo. There was a certain time where there was an argument that Giakoumakis would start ahead of Kyogo for some big games because what he was bringing to the team every time he stepped on the pitch, whether it be a substitute or a starting appearance, he would score. I don't get that from O, which then leads me to think the same as Daz, that Celtic needed a centre-forward, someone who was going to push Kyogo and put a question mark in Brendan Rodgers' head about who was going to play in some of these big games. And they've not done that. I think it's a one glaring position. It's here. I get the goalkeeper argument. Okay, my argument was that Ange Postecoglou didn't opt for another goalkeeper and Brendan Rodgers didn't. I just wonder how much works went into that, if they were close to getting one, or they just
doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, it doesn't. But the centre forward one, I think that is a glaring position that needed filled, or needed backup, certainly to Kyogo. And I was surprised as anyone that a move wasn't moved.
Before we leave Kyogo behind, the job that Kyogo is now being asked to do, for me, diminishes his threat.
Yeah, let's deal with that in the game-specific stuff when we talk about it later on. In terms of transfers, I think what's... like, I know not everything has to be a comparison, Fraser, but on this weekend of all weekends, let's do it. When you look at Rangers' situation in the window and Celtic's situation... Celtic had a very good season last season and Rangers did not. So from that perspective, you would think Celtic needed less. They needed fewer players in than Rangers. Rangers then lost a lot of recognised players from last season, probably more than Celtic. And yet Celtic actually ended up signing, I think, was it one more or the same amount as Rangers in the window. So it's just been a strange window in that regard, hasn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. I was actually going to say that. You know, if you look at the end of last season and you're sitting there, the last game of the season, you say, right, who's going to sign more players during this window? You'd say, absolutely, Rangers. You know, they're losing players. McGregor retiring, Kent and Morelos off. There's players who are leaving the club, who the club are releasing. You know, you'd have thought they would have brought in more players than Celtic, but for some reason, Celtic seem to have added more players. And I think it's interesting what David Steele was saying about certain positions, because Rangers are pretty much the same. You know, they've brought in players, all of whom are pretty similar in attacking areas. And again, I would have thought maybe bringing another left-back, another centre-back. There was talk about the new Ryan Kent. There's little in the way of wide players. So from that sense, Celtic seem to have too many wide players. And I think Maeda will probably move into more a kind of central role to challenge Kyogo. Now they've got all these other wingers as well, because I'm going to play that money for Parma and not play him as well. So I think there's going to be changes in that sense. But you look at Rangers squad, they've not got anybody can play really comfortably in a wide position. You know, there's Matondo, who's come in and began to show a wee bit with his pace, but sometimes just lets himself down the last third. Cifuentes played a bit wider during the week against Feyenoord. That's not his position. So the three strikers they brought in, Dessers and Danilo and Lammers, all very similar as well, but all down the middle. So it's almost like you could take a couple of wingers out of Celtic's team and put a couple of midfield players into the Celtic team, and all of a sudden there would be a better balance there. And it's been really interesting to see how it's gone about. But again, you know, you're talking about, you know, Jota is sold for 25 million, and Celtic fans think, yeah, let's go and get the big players. You can't just do that. You know, you're going to have to pay a lot more money in terms of transfer fees, but also the salaries that they can offer. They're not going to get the players. I mean, Cole Palmer goes from Man City to Chelsea for 45 million. The lad has played about a dozen games. It's a different world. So in this market where they're both looking, it's not always going to be successful bringing in somebody for 2 or 3 million, but they're going to have to hope amongst those 9 or 10 there are 3 or 4 gems that are going to improve your team.
Yeah, and that leads us on nicely to Rangers' part in the transfer window. Again, lots of bodies brought in, as you mentioned, Fraser. Michael Beale, you know, he's very open, isn't he? So he almost creates the situation for himself, where he said earlier in the window that he wanted a Ryan Kent type, you know, a dribbler. I think there was no secret of wanting another defender as well. And then those didn't happen. So he has to then almost explain yesterday that, you know, we tried and we got down the road with this one and that didn't happen. Overall, how would you rate Rangers' window then?
I think at the moment it looks like an average window, but I think it's how do the lads up front settle in? How does he pick his best team? And it'll be interesting to see both teams tomorrow, but I think particular Rangers, I think Lammers has looked a decent player, but he looks as if he's somebody who wants to play through the middle or just off the main striker, but he's been coming in off the right. Danilo, I'm not sure where he's going to fit into Rangers' team. Dessers is certainly a striker, can't really play any other position. So they've almost got three central strikers who have been their big signings of the summer. So how do you fit them in? And if you look at the Rangers team during the week against Feyenoord, there's only three of his new signings started. Butland too, I think, has been terrific, and I don't think he's a downgrade on Alan McGregor. Dessers, yeah, he's done okay. Cifuentes looks as if he's got something, but they're going to have to hit the ground running quickly, because Rangers can't afford to lose tomorrow, and then all of a sudden they're further behind Celtic, and then the pressure starts to build on the manager and on the players as well. So I know it's not easy for these managers, and he's been pretty honest. He wanted the new Ryan Kent. Ryan Kent costs 6 or 7 million, 6 or 7 million quid and hefty wages, and Rangers don't have that kind of money, and they spent a lot of money compared to where they've been the last couple of years over this summer. So again, neither manager, as I said earlier about the two managers here at Perth, I don't think any manager, in fact, in the Premiership can say he's not been backed by his board. It's an extraordinary amount of signings across the board. But Celtic and Rangers, Rodgers and Beale, they can both say that we have been backed, and it's now down to them to make the best of their very good squads.
We don't know what Brendan Rodgers is thinking, though, Fraser, because does there remain a possibility, and I get what you're saying, look, numbers of signings, yes, and outlay financially, yes, but if Brendan Rodgers does come out of this window saying, well, I wanted a left back and I wanted a goalie, and I don't know if he does think that, but if he does, then there would be an argument to say that he's not been backed.
It depends on who's bringing the players in, whether a lot of these players were identified under the Ange Postecoglou era, and does he need another left back? I'm not convinced. Does he need another goalie? Maybe, but certainly in terms of him getting players in towards the end of the window, from Lagerbielke to course, he's got to bring in an extra centre half in Nat Phillips, who I think will be fine. Lewis Palmer has been identified as well, and we don't know whether he'll be the type of player that will set the header on fire. But as I said earlier, you know, when you're operating in this market, it's difficult. You look at the Japanese players that Celtic have brought in, you know, 50% of them have been successful, 50% not, he would argue, you know. And so therefore, you're taking your gamble in that market area where you're bringing in players. Can they, for a £2 million player, can they play better than that? Are they going to improve? Are they going to make the team better? And that's a difficult area both the Old Firm teams find themselves in a time when they're probably wanting to bring their wage bill down a bit.
Quickly, Gordon, you can get the final say. Rangers window, we discussed Celtics. How would you rate it?
Average, just now. But still
just copied Fraser Wishart.
Was that what he said? Sorry, yeah, I wasn't listening.
Same answer.
I think that they brought in players that still have a bit to prove and show. That could be tomorrow, because you know what like it is. If you, for instance, if you're a Dessers, Lammers, a Danilo, if you get a winner against Celtic tomorrow, you're an instant hero. So there's still plenty of time. But I think it's I like the goalkeeper, Gordon. I've got to say, I think his best signing in the window is certainly going to be the goalkeeper. I think he's been excellent. Big gloves to fill in, after McGregor, obviously. But there's still one or two in the forward positions, a lot to do for
that was great from you, because you took the big shoes to fill analogy and you adapted it, because he's a goalkeeper. Yeah. I see on it, he's a man on top of his game.
Adaptability.
We can argue all day long about who had the best window and what the window looks like for Celtic and Rangers, but there's one thing I do know. Again, one man's personal opinion. These two transfer windows will need to work for Michael Beale and Brendan Rodgers, because the one who finishes second in the league will not be the manager the season after.
He's listen, the Lee Johnson prediction has spurred him on for the rest of the season. There is no holding this man back now. We'll park that for the moment. There'll be plenty more previews ahead of tomorrow, I'm sure, as the afternoon progresses. But we will go back around the grounds ahead of 3 o'clock kickoffs next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans are in the studio. The top team are out and about. A lovely day for it. I know you don't tune in to Clyde One Super Scoreboard for a weather update, but there we are. It is a good day for some football. A very quiet card in the Premiership. These Thursday night qualifiers, it does mean you've got a blockbuster Sunday to look forward to, with Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, Motherwell and that other wee game along the road in Glasgow. Three big games in the Premiership today though: Livy, St Mirren, St Johnstone, Dundee and Killie, Ross County. Gabriel is at Rugby Park. We put this slant on the St Mirren game, Gabriel, but I wonder if Kilmarnock fans are a touch nervous that Derek McInnes might be one that Hibs would ask a question to.
Yeah, 100% Gordon. I was actually down at Villa Park on Thursday, speaking to lots of Hibs fans, supporters, asking them who they want to be the next man, and a lot of them were saying we want someone who knows Scottish football. You've seen a lot of the recent managers, Lee Johnson, even Sean Maloney, Paul Heckingbottom, didn't really know the league too well, hadn't been around, whereas they were talking about Stephen Robinson, Derek McInnes, and that's where Neil Lennon came into it as well, as men that know the league and will know what it means to go away to Ibrox, to Tynecastle, to Celtic Park and Pittodrie and try and win the matches. That's what they were saying. So Derek McInnes, 100%, you would think would be considered by the hierarchy at Hibs. But if you were a Kilmarnock fan, you'd be looking at them, looking at the squad that McInnes has started to build here and the start of the season, and think, why would he leave? As I said earlier, a record, a 30-year record ticket sales has been broken for the season tickets. The squad is looking a lot stronger. McInnes himself saying that this is finally the group that he wants. And brilliant results against both of the Old Firm clubs. A draw away at Hearts and a win today turns that impressive start into a brilliant one. So Killie fans, they're in fine voice here today. And I think that they'll be confident that even if Hibs do come calling, McInnes would rather stay put.
We get caught up in the drama or lack of on deadline day, Gordon, and I wonder, you know, you forget sometimes that teams do their business early, and you look at Kilmarnock. Gabriel's right, that's Derek McInnes' team, and it is so deliberately built with guys that have played in this league before, or from this part of the world even.
Yes, he started a journey. He took over when they were in the Championship, Gordon. They got him up into the Premier League, survived last year. His away record wasn't particularly good. But he's really built a strong squad. Got off to a terrific start. You can't get any better than, you know, beating Rangers and Celtic in your own patch. This is a big game because they've got to continue that. They lost that momentum last week at Fir Park. Would Derek McInnes consider Hibs? I think he would take his time. I think he'd look at every angle of it. Hibs are a massive club. You're talking the last time they played St Mirren, I don't know if you know this, 17,500 was at the ground. So,
and you were one of them.
I was one of them. The potential's there, but I think looking at what he's building at Kilmarnock, I think he's very happy just now.
I would answer Gabriel's question. Why would he leave? Because Hibs are a bigger club than Kilmarnock.
Rangers were a bigger club than Aberdeen and he turned them down. Let's hear from him.
Been a decent start, a strong start. If we can be a top six team before we get into the split and be in the quarterfinals of the cup, we're looking forward to that one when it comes round, then we've got to be pleased with that. So we've got a work to do, try and do that. The players are annoyed themselves, really, that we allowed at least point to go with Outwergrass in the last second of the game.
Livy St Mirren's a good one. David Field, they always worry about the dry artificial pitch, but I wonder if David Martindale's tears of shock at not moving on Joel Nubley for big money will be enough to give you a nice slick playing surface.
It wasn't for the want of trying. I think David would laugh at himself. I mean, as I said earlier on, Gordon, he seemed to mention it every time, but look, he'll be happy still to have him in some way because he's such an important player for Livingston. He's so unorthodox. You know, he gets them going, he gets them up the pitch, he holds the ball up, he can create some magic. So, as I say, you know, I do think Livy are a far better team with him in there, but Davey could have done with it. I think he was looking for a six-figure fee at the very least for him, but he stayed so far. I mean, obviously, I know there's some countries out there in the world where the windows are still open, but it looks like Joel Nubley will stay. It wasn't much, as I say, between two clubs in terms of transfer, late transfer window. Most of the players were signed by both clubs earlier in the window. So two settled teams really today, looking at it, strong benches as well, and just in touching the pitch, I've never seen it drier. It's such a nice day here today, lovely and sunny, and David Martindale has kept the hoses away, so St Mirren are going to have to try and cope with the driest pitch in Livy history, I think.
And this will be a good test of St Mirren then as well, won't it? You start, you know, when we're early in the season, there's such a small sample size that you can almost change your opinion on a team week to week. But if St Mirren can add to their impressive start by going to Livy and dealing with that quite comfortably, you know, that would be a real positive way to get into the international break. And then of course David Martindale, I think you referenced saying that he thinks they've already surprised people with their points tally so far.
Yeah, Livy have been in good form, and this is always going to be a hard away game, not just the surface. Livy are a good side, but you're right, I think St Mirren, I mean, even speaking to some of the players after the last win over Motherwell in the Cup, they were talking about how they want to make St Mirren a fortress, the home stadium. It is, this Miser, I mean, it's very, very hard for teams to go and get there, get anything from there. So if St Mirren can then add really, really strong away form, they're going to finish top six minimum. So, yeah, it's a huge game. Stephen Robinson, as I said, manager of the month, things couldn't really have gone any better since losing to Montrose in the first game in the League Cup section. You know, I think it's six wins and a draw since then. You know, they can go top of the league tonight, but this is a big one for him. I think he'll want to kick on, especially before the international break.
Ryan Strain, player of the month as well. A lot of success at St Mirren for the way they've started this season. St Johnston, Fraser, you wonder what a point at Celtic Park does for you, because the understatement of the year would be that home to Dundee is a completely different tactical battle. So do you try and just kind of replicate that for a bit and be hard to beat, or is that reserved for trips to Glasgow?
Well, I think that this time last week, St Johnstone fans were probably dreading going to Celtic Park, you know, in the back of the League Cup campaigns, in the back of a 2-0 loss here against Hearts, a 3-0, I think it was, up at Ross County as well. And that was a really important point. But I think today is an important game as well, because it's a local derby. It's a home game against a team you'd expect to be around the mid to the bottom end of the table where St Johnstone would be. And when you look at their next two fixtures, they play Rangers here next week, then they're away to Hibs. And by that time, Hibs would probably have a new manager. There's always, although they've had poor results, it's a difficult place to go and get a win for St Johnstone as well. So if you don't get something here today, all of a sudden they could be in problems in a few weeks' time. But it's given a bit of breathing space for Stephen McLean, because I'm sure he was feeling the pressure. In fact, even the Hearts game, first game of the season, his post-match, he did say he was feeling a bit of pressure. He knew he had to improve. So he's been given a few weeks since the last league games here, and he's now got his own players in, and it's up to him now to mould them into a successful team. He's brought in a couple of wingers, Jay Turner-Cook and Dara Costello, young lads from down in England. Who knows whether they'll be good enough up here? I'm sure they'll be very quick in these wide areas as well, but can they produce the chances for Stevie May? And that's the problem, is who scores the goals. I said earlier, they're the only team that haven't scored a goal in three games, so I think it's a very important game today for St Johnstone.
Yeah, but forget all that stuff. What about the real important issue? Is he wearing that nice wee jumper again? He dressed up for his trip to Celtic Park and it brought him good luck. Is he gone again?
Oh, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him out. I've seen Liam Craig and the coaches have been out with the players, but I'll have a wee look.
Fashion watch. If there's one man for that, Gordon Dalziel, you'll agree it is Fraser Wishart.
Oh, yeah, Fraser will be right on the ball. He knows his fashion. You could see some of the gear that he wears.
Let's move quickly into the Championship. I didn't realise we were so close to kick-offs. Dave Galloway, you've got an interesting fixture in itself, but you're also watching one of the interesting managerial stories of recent seasons develop. Rhys McCabe, still only 31, no age at all, really, to be managing and playing as well. Of course, he got that injury recently, Dave, but it's a great story bubbling away, Airdrie.
It certainly is, and you know it's great to see Rhys McCabe's football philosophy coming to the fore. He's playing an exciting brand of, you know, quick attacking football, lots of goals, as we've touched upon. It'll be really interesting to see how this one unfolds. United will need to blunt that attacking threat, won't they, of a visiting side that hasn't failed to score since the defeat against Alloa. That was 11 months ago. United with 4 shutouts from 5 matches. This could be a really tough test for them. Airdrie keen to maintain the momentum that won them promotion to the Championship, Gordon. It's been a decent start to the campaign for them, but the big question, can they deliver consistently at a higher level?
That is a big question indeed. Go on then, you three dumplings, what is the ACCA looking like? Sometimes we do it once the games have kicked off, and I don't like it because an early goal can go in and skew your thinking. So Hugh, you've got 4 featured games. Don't mess this up. Last week you stood there, you told us Lee Johnson would go, yeah, and he did. So this is your chance to follow up with another win.
Kilmarnock will beat Ross County. St Mirren will win away at Livy. St Johnston, no goals in 3 games. Talk about making very little go a long way, but that suggests there is a problem in that department. I'm taking Dundee to win at Perth, and I will go Dundee United to beat Airdrie.
Kilmarnock home win for me. Livy, St Mirren draw. St Johnston, Dundee draw. And Dundee United will beat Airdrie.
Yeah, Ross County not won in the last 8 at Rugby Park, so I'm taking Kilmarnock. St Mirren, I've got a great record against Livingston, I'm taking St Mirren. St Johnston, Dundee not won in the last 7 away.
Somebody been giving you research on these
Yeah, lost their last 4, I'll add
that's
that
more
in.
Stats than I've heard you spout in the last
so
5
I'm going
years
to go a draw, and I'm going to go Dundee United to beat Airdrie.
Team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are in the studio. You can keep up with us at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch with the show. We'll try and give you a mention. And of course, the open line will be here later on this afternoon when I give you the nod. I mean, I've got a funny feeling, call it a hunch, that tomorrow's game will actually be what features on the open line more than whatever happens this afternoon. But that can be the way of the world sometimes. We are still looking forward to games today at Livy, St Mirren, St Johnston, Dundee, Killy, Ross County in the top flight. Our featured Championship game is Dundee United, Airdrie. And there are lots of other good games to keep an eye on. I mean, what about Morton, Partick Thistle for this part of the world? A cracker. Local one for us.
But you're quite right. At 5 o'clock, it's your last chance to hit the bragometer.
Last night, there was one great call that summed it up, wasn't there? Do you remember? Yeah, the guy came out and it was so measured, and it was just, I think it was on about transfers, and it was calm, it was analytical, it was intelligent, and then he just goes, "We're going to murder them tomorrow.
Slaughter them, slaughter them."
That was how it finished, and he hung up.
So the bragometer is open for my dad's bigger than your dad at 5 o'clock.
Absolutely. I mean, it's even Scottish Cup day as well. What is it? Preliminary round 2, I think. Alan Hudson has sent me a tweet. All aboard the supporters bus, the Bankies, Hugh.
Yeah.
To Fort William. Whoa. The Scottish Cup malarkey starts again. Come on the papers, he says.
Incredible, exactly. Hugh, I was out walking the dog this morning, seeing Gordon Moffat, manager, and all suited and booted, looking very smart. And I said, "Who are you playing today?" He said, "Fort William." And I looked at my watch and I went, "Oh, take it, it's at home then." He said, "Nope, away." And I went, "How are you getting there in that time?" And of course he said, "It's 7:30pm kickoff." The whole rigmarole of getting that fixture in place for them.
Moved venue and stuff, didn't it, a couple of times.
I have to be careful. Mrs. Keevans comes from Fort
William. So she does. A divided household for you.
Yeah, because the season ticket holders at the Bankies were talking about it last night. But the matriarch, she who must be obeyed, comes from Fort William.
That must have been a nightmare when you were dating her, getting home at night.
No, she doesn't drive here.
Oh, exactly.
I was taken up to Fort William so that they could see what a Glaswegian looked like.
Seriously?
Bad example it was to present you.
She's still married.
Look at the moustache on him. They all have tattoos like that.
How did you get up there?
We went by train, and then in order to get to where her auntie lived, just outside Fort Wayne,
horse and cart,
we got a bus, and there was a sheep on the bus.
No way.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Where was that
sheep going on?
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember, I got married 52 years ago.
Mean the lamb a Fort William, one and a half, please.
That must have still been unusual, Hugh, even 50 odd years ago, to have a sheep in the bus.
I kept jumping it all the time, you know, because in their auntie's house there were chickens in the kitchen. I can't
imagine you're great with animals.
No.
You know my
rule, no livestock.
Livestock.
I don't allow livestock in the house.
This is you know, like these modern workplaces, sometimes this is one of them. You come in and somebody's got their dog in.
Yeah.
And then everybody else all goes around and, oh, look how cute the dog is. Hugh always just refers to them as livestock and then sits himself in the corner. Well, and I actually like that about you.
Yeah, well, we were
don't conform.
It's a small holding, and you open the kitchen door, and chickens come in, and I'm jumping all over the place.
You've got fresh food right in your doorstep.
I actually thought about you this morning, Gordon DL, when I saw his, Mark Wilson's, Instagram, because he prepared for the show by climbing a hill. You know, that's what he does. We've discussed this a couple of times.
Yeah, boring.
And I just know how much disdain you treat him with when he exercises that pastime. It's just the difference between you guys is how you spend your Saturday mornings compared to him.
What were you up to this morning?
Well, you know what I was up to? I was in bench pressing a few bits of weights at the gym this morning.
Bits of weights, yeah.
Doing my usual, pumping the arms and getting the body into shape for the winter coming.
What about Ange Ball?
Got to look after yourself.
What about Ange Ball?
They winning again?
No, goal down after 4 minutes. Lyle Foster. Imagine an Australian conceding to a guy called Foster as well.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ivan. Exactly. See, I did think him up the hill today. I actually did think of you and thought, it's a beautiful day. You know, you're not getting any younger. You could do worse than maybe, you know, coming up a hill in the morning.
Which hill did you choose this morning for anyone who cares?
Just one up the camps. Yeah, Meikle Bin.
How far up's that?
I think all round trip it was about 6.5 mile.
I think that must be the most pointless.
I've got an idea, right? Why don't you take a wee golf club and a wee ball and just chip it 50 yards in front of you and then just keep going, and then that would get you up to the top.
But you're just continually walking up a hill. What is that? I agree. What's the point?
What's the point?
Don't you jump in with him, right?
There's no point whatsoever, mate. There's no end game to that. The only end game is I need to come back down. Right?
The end game is the view. But unfortunately, the clouds were over us. I didn't see anything.
Not for me. I'll leave that to the younger generation.
This is even more baffling, because walking up is one thing. Paul McManus sent me a tweet to say I was out hill running today and I bumped into Mark Wilson. Fair to say, I brought the tattoo up.
I'm walking down and I see this group of young guys coming. There must have been about 8 of them, and I had to grab the dog and put him on the lead in case he chases them. And as they're running by, morning, because that's the etiquette in the old hill walking, morning, one of them at the back turns and says, "Hey, yeah, he's got your name on the back of his leg," and just continue to run. The old tattoo get all sprayed.
It's quite a live with you.
If there's no point to hill walking.
Hold on. One of our featured games. Let's do this for the first time today. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. And it's a goal for Dundee United. And it's Matthew Cudjoe who has started the season very well indeed. 4 minutes it's taken him against Airdrie. And the Tannadice side take the lead, Hugh.
Well, Jim Goodwin's starting to get into his stride at Tannadice now. They must be big favourites to come straight back up again. And Cudjoe has been a very handy addition.
I think that's the next step for Rhys McCabe's development, you know, as a manager. It's very impressive going through the leagues and getting promoted and then showing up well in the cup against Ross County. But away games against Dundee United, it's maybe, I wonder if you need to think of your tactics a bit more, or do you just stick with them? Do you have the courage to stick with them? As that game goes on, we'll be able to see. but he's a top young manager, or he's proven that way so far. He's obviously not playing just now because he's injured. Got an injury, is that a couple of weeks ago against Ross County?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a tough school though, isn't it? As good as Airdrie have been, Gordon, everyone expects, you look at the finance and the resource and everything that Dundee United have got for a season in the Championship.
They're big favourites of that, there's no doubt. But you look about that Championship, there's some good teams that play good football with good experienced players that have played around those divisions for years upon years. Winning your home games, Dundee United with the squad that they've got, certainly will have the advantage, but it doesn't always work out like that. Still a long season, a lot of games to be played. And as I say, Jim's starting to get the nucleus, a good team there now, getting them fitted into the way he wants to play, and it's bearing the fruit now. It's getting benefits.
The other problem for Jim Goodwin, of course, is they must come up. Dundee United cannot financially handle being down in the Championship for too long. They're a club who, you know, it's a tight ship, and they need backup among the big boys. And unfortunately, the pressure of that rests on the manager's shoulders.
So first goal then of the day in our featured matches. Dundee are on top in the early stages in the Tayside Derby. St Mirren have had a chance against Olivia. Bacchus header, gets it all wrong. Good cross from McMenamin. Interesting to hear Raith Rovers have gone a goal up on Queen's Park thanks to Callum Smith,
which is even better news for Dundee United, because it could see Dundee United leapfrog Queen's Park and go top.
Interesting to hear from Stephen Robinson yesterday admit that there had been contact, not necessarily an official bid, but contact from Aberdeen for Keanu Bacchus, who you'll remember had a good World Cup,
great World
and
Cup.
So on. And him saying that, you know, last year St Mirren probably would have had to sell. They just kind of had to sell everyone, but in a position to wait until the price is right, so to speak.
Well, they gave Eamon Brophy to Ross County because they needed to get him off the wage bill, St Mirren. So again, another tight ship there. But when you think about it, well, this Hibs job remains vacant. Today could be, I underline could be, Stephen Robinson's last day as St Mirren manager. Could be Derek McInnes's last day as Kilmarnock manager.
Don't question this guy.
Nah.
This time last week you shot him down about Lee Johnson.
I did.
Don't make me play the clip.
And he put one over me. There's no doubt in that, and I'll give him that. But he's now starting to get carried away with his own importance.
It's not like him.
I've got to say, I was yesterday at school gate. I recognised the lad. I was standing next to him and I heard him speaking. I didn't
I know
what's
coming
it is.
Here.
Yeah, is it Goggage?
Yeah.
You're thinking about school gates?
I was seeing my wee granddaughter in and I looked around and I thought, I know. In fact, there I know him from somewhere.
So your granddaughter goes to school with Goggage's child, that's what you're telling us.
Is that, well, I don't know if they're in the same class.
It won't be his grandchild, will it? No. Young man.
But there was another guy there, I meant to ask you, with Jai Q on his tracksuit, and I have no idea who he is.
A football tracksuit or just a...
Yeah, he's a footballer and I'm...
Jai Katongo.
No, it's not. And I'm sure Goggage, because I'm sort of a eardropper, you know, like I'm a leak to get in about things. And he says, all the best with the Scotland squad or something.
What kind of... What team was it though? You can't just give us a tracksuit and Jai Q. What was the badge?
I couldn't see it, mate.
It
was a Q.
There's not many.
I was like in Quincy. Right, that letter Q.
Anyway, the Palmerston Pep is trailing Queen of the South nil. Montrose 1. Let's do this, Hugh. We've left it a bit late today, it has to be said.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I think this is a tricky wee one. I'd be interested at how Ant Deck to my left get on with this one. Can you name the last 7 players to score in the first Old Firm game of the season? The last 7 players to score in the first Old Firm game of the season.
Take it away. At Clyde SSB, you need to come up with all 7 answers, put them on one tweet and send it to at Clyde SSB. You need to really try and do it faster than everyone else. That is how you win the game. So that's your first half teaser. Get it going at Clyde SSB, and I'll give you some helpful hints along the way if you need it. So keep going. You got any so far? Yeah, Mark Wilson's pen is working furiously.
I was just writing the numbers then. 1-7. Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Louis Molt hits the header. Hits the post with a diving header. Then Glenn Middleton shoots across goal and goes wide. So Dundee United looking for a second. Inverness Cali Thistle have been having a miserable time of it, but Nathan Shaw has put them one goal to the good against Dunfermline. So the goals are starting to go in down the divisions. Nothing in the three Premiership games yet, though.
Dunfermline on the rebound from losing the Fife derby to Wraith Rovers. So not plain sailing there.
I thought I had another goal to tell you about, but stand down, false alarm. Nothing doing yet. There were a lot of early games in England, and it's that week we're heading into international week. I noticed Nathan Patterson whipping across a brilliant ball for Everton to score.
So we'll like to see.
It's always a good sign. We'll take that.
They're struggling. 2-2 Sheffield United, mm-hmm. Mall Club.
What do you mean your old club?
That's where I started my career.
What?
What? Yeah. Sheffield United?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, I was S form there.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I've never known this about you. The problem is, you don't know when he's telling the truth.
Really?
No, he has the look of a truthful man about him.
Listen, he's perfected that look over the years.
And what happened was, I got a bit homesick. I was rooming with, now I think it's Gary Devine. I think he was relative of, I don't know if it's the son of Sydney or his cousin or whatever. He was there at the time. He'll verify my presence.
Why do you do this? Because I've just no idea if it's
Gordon,
true.
We were at a golf day yesterday, and after the golf day we sat down with the guys we were playing with, and we got on about his career. And I said he started it at the Mitchell Library, and he was telling the story to the boy. But then you just moved on to Rangers. You didn't mention it, and
because you have bored us all to tears for years with your stories on here, and you've never once mentioned Sheffield United.
Yeah, I have. If you never. Listen, yes, I have. Bramall Lane, fantastic! What a stadium it is. That's where I was.
And there is no mention of it on your Wikipedia.
Well,
what else is
why.
On that Wikipedia?
Yeah, there's
no. Let's not bring attention. I regret that. I wish those words hadn't left my mouth, because remember, this caused a real ruckus a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you talked about the boys yesterday. Couldn't believe I don't like holidays. Drink out of paper cups.
People were old. Palmerston Peps 2 down at home.
To a
famous footballing name,
Craig Brown. Yeah. Well, funnily enough,
Craig Brown's grandson, isn't
it? Yeah. We were talking about the games before we went on air, and Gordon Dale said they lose an awful lot of goals, Queen of the South. And that's true, and they're continuing to do so today.
That coaching playing for the backs working for a big guy.
Thistle
are a goal down as well.
Because I've been watching them over at Hamilton Parts training. I sneak over on a Friday and see his set plays. And
if they actually have started the season well, so it doesn't really make much sense.
More than one Partick Thistle nil.
I bet they've not quite kept many clean
so
sheets.
So it is, yeah. Robbie Muirhead, sorry Hugh, I was too busy googling Gordon Dale Sheffield United. I can't see anything. Anything at all.
I'll tell you what, they're the biggest dressing rooms I've ever seen in my life. I remember that.
Oh, well, there you are. That's proof then.
If you ask yourself, why would a man lie about being Sheffield United?
It's a good point.
I could have been in that film, what do you call it? The striptease one.
Full Monty. I was in Sheffield.
I could have been one of those boys.
Ange Ball has equalised. Heung-min Son, the captain, has pulled him level at Burnley. You always kind of talk about this on deadline day and throughout the season, and there are a million examples. Fine, you shouldn't really be surprised, but did I see Burnley sign a fullback for 30 something million pounds?
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Who'd never really played. Did I see that? Is it
crazy?
Mattson from Chelsea?
Crazy.
Did it actually happen in the end? Or maybe I just
see what happens down in England now. The teams see potential in players and, you know, spend ludicrous amounts of money on bringing potential rather than game time and experienced professionals.
No, do you know what? I actually don't think it went through. No, that's right. He's the one. He ended up posting a video, I think, of him celebrating the move, celebrating himself rejecting the move, something like that. It was on Sky Sports News, and him and his mate are sitting watching it, and he's saying, "No, I'm still here."
Oh, right. Well, anyway. It shows you what a club Chelsea is to be at then. Was it Chelsea he's originally at? A lot of players sitting in that Chelsea dressing room, not playing many first team games, but tell you what, their pensions will look good.
Sheffield United, Gordon Dale.
Mm-hmm.
Still not. He should. Did you just maybe go for like a trial or something? Are you,
no, no,
have you maybe embellished
there,
the detail?
I was down there for months.
What age are we talking?
15, 16.
Just pre-Mitchell Library?
Yeah.
Or post?
Yeah, I come up, I thought, no, I want to be a stonemason. And I went into the stonemason industry. And I lasted a week at the Mitchell Library. It just was not for me. Mortar and the Dazzler just didn't go hand in hand.
I'm really struggling here. Can't see any mention of it. But
I might be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, how did you end up there though?
I was scouted. Liverpool and everybody wanted me. I was big in the time when I played with North Motherwell. Everybody.
So that was like your first recognition from a professional team.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wanted me.
As I say, why would you lie about it?
Exactly.
Like you. But there's a lot of things.
But also,
why
break the habit of a lifetime?
I know, but if he said he was at Barcelona, I would say, well, he's a liar. But Sheffield United?
Yeah, true.
Who's going to go? Who would make that up?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, lovely set.
Do you know what? That's something a liar would say. That's part of the full gaslighting experience. Where why would I lie about that?
Yeah.
Listen.
Well, nothing surprises me with you anymore.
A bit of a pause at the game at Tannadice. I think there's a medical emergency in the crowd, which is always an extremely difficult and sensitive situation. So fingers crossed that everything is okay there at Tannadice. And obviously football becomes irrelevant, far less important in these circumstances. But I'll keep you up to speed on what's happening there as best as we can. Andrew Shinney has taken a sore one after an aerial collision with Bacchus and was... And the doctors and medics are on there dealing with the player. So a bit of a lull in a couple of our games. You've got your teaser up and running as well. Still no goals in our featured Premiership matches. But Dundee United do lead Airdrie by a goal to nil. And we have goals to tell you about down the leagues as well. So if anyone wants to get involved, you can on Twitter.
I'm disappointed we're not seeing the Scottish Cup results flood in. Some interesting teams in that draw when I'm looking down the list.
Honestly, right, the power of this show. See if you now refresh Gordon Dale's Wikipedia.
I'm there.
Genuinely, he played for Rangers and Man City, having previously been a Sheffield United reject on an S form. How quick is that?
How do you even do that? Who's done that?
Listen, that's my private things they're putting out. That's ridiculous.
That's the whole point. It's literally the opposite of private. It's your Wikipedia.
Can somebody put anything on that?
Yeah. Remember there was the Bonkle Badminton Championships a couple of years ago.
I was a badminton under 16 schoolboys champion.
United reject. You won the home set.
Well, so you can really drink next to every one of the clubs. Let me tell you.
Aside from that bit that someone's just clearly stuck in mischievously, there is a line that genuinely is always part of your Wikipedia that says, "So DL director of football at Airdrieonians." I didn't know you got named that on Halloween. That's interesting. Following the appointment of Mark Wilson as first team coach,
yes, very good.
Surely you were appointed first.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
Wikipedia's got Wilson in first.
Yeah, I brought him in.
Followed by you.
I brought him in. I thought this is what this club needs.
No,
more chaos.
Listen, your biggest mistake was you never followed me into breaking.
This is the important line. DL took charge of the team after Wilson left, but the club had to appoint another coach due to his work for Radio Clyde.
The old director of football role wasn't for you.
Look, I was in there to do a quick fix, as it's called. And I'm very proud of the job I did in there.
Arbroath 1, Air United 0. Jay Bird with the opener for Dick Campbell's side there, just about midway through the first half. So you want to get your trips to Arbroath out the way on days like this.
Yep.
This is a good day to go to Arbroath.
January. I'm sure it will still be blowing a gale, but nevertheless, Arbroath are one up. Do you know when I hope it is blowing a gale? Because I don't mind that. I'll happily put up with it to see the look on your face, specifically both of you.
When? Well, Thursday.
Have you remembered what's happening this Thursday, the 7th of September?
I'm trying to put that back in my mind.
It is a big week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Big games today, Rangers Celtic tomorrow, but we're literally taking this to new heights this week, because Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and myself are going to be abseiling down the side of Silverburn, apparently. Oof. This Thursday, all to help Cash for Kids. So if you'd like to sponsor us, why wouldn't you? You can donate to the link on our socials or head to clyde1.com/cashforkids. You can get all the details, and not only that, why not come along, get involved with us? You can get involved if you're up to the challenge and want to raise some money. Either way, you'll be helping children across Glasgow and the West that need your help, and your donations do make a real difference. Imagine seeing the fear, smelling the fear.
I have two rules. No livestock, no abseiling.
Yeah, I don't know how I've got myself involved.
Why are you doing this?
I don't know. I just seem to... I look down at sometimes on my Instagram, I see my face in with Wilson and Duncan doing things that I don't really want to do, right? Abseiling is not my game. I'm no Tom Cruise of the abseiling world.
No.
So I'm under a little bit of pressure. I'm a bit worried. I forgot about that. I've got a busy week this week.
I've made a rod for my own back, because I don't really care about these things that much. The bungee jump we did in here, fine. The skydive, fine. And I always say, whatever, stick me down for whatever. I genuinely knew, and I hope I'm not going to expose a lack of internal organisation in this company, I knew nothing about this until I saw my face on Instagram with a big thing about abseiling. And I thought, I knew nothing of that. Well, I'm delighted that we're involved.
Are we going down Marks and Spencer's wall?
Is it the Marks and Spencer's wall, or is it the cinema site? What are we talking here?
I think the cinema's bigger, isn't it? So hopefully the Marks and Spencer's.
I just don't know how we're going to
something get
down
I've not done myself.
Oh, right, I think it's like outside the building. I don't know. Let's not confuse the details.
Going to need some strong ropes for you. So you've been in the gym.
That's why he's been on the intermittent fasting. He was telling us about,
because they told him there was a weight restriction.
Claw
hold forward.
Claw.
Like Spider Man. Oh, I can't wait to see your face looking over the edge.
Oh, no.
There's no fool like an old fool.
Do you know what? I actually think fair play to you.
What shoes do you wear? That's what I want to know.
What do you mean? You're not.
Do you wear climbing boots?
No, they give you special abseiling shoes.
Pair of Timbies.
You're at it.
No, think about it. As if you're going to rock up with your Under Armour trainers on.
So I've got
big
sort of
suction
spikes.
Cups. No, it's like suction cups on the bottom, so that you stick to.
Seriously?
The.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, that's all right then.
Yeah, yeah.
What size are you? Because actually, they were asking.
Just a 9, please.
Nine, just
a with plenty of suction.
Half.
I'll stick a wee half in there, aye. Aye, plenty of suction on them, please.
Good for you. I've got a full. Wow, I've got a full team of investigative journalists looking into your time at Sheffield United. No one's come up with anything, but clearly people are googling Gordon DL Sheffield.
So it's bringing up
mixed results. And there is a match report from when you were at Man City against Sheffield Wednesday, and all it doesn't say much. It just says DL, after one hard 25-yard shot, was replaced.
I was knackered. I was knackered
by Kinsey. Who would that be?
Steve Kinsley.
Kinsey.
Blonde haired lad. Good player. Okay. Terrific. I showed you how good I was. I was keeping him at the team.
Well, I think it was about half an hour in. You get hooked.
I was injured. I think I tweaked at hammy then. But they were great days, I've got to say. Not many people have played with a club like the size of City. Especially in here.
I did. I rejected them.
No, you did not.
I did.
You start all that nonsense.
Yeah, I brought in the contract. We all know the story.
Make that up.
Bit of a serious one for Andrew Shinney. I think again, sore one, literally, but not nice to see. He's in a brace. He's been stretchered off, and we wish Andrew Shinney all the best, because that looks like a serious one. Back underway at Livy. It's about 6 or 7 minute stoppage. David Friel always gets the long stoppages. You'll notice that. Game's a bit ragged at Killy Ross County. Nothing really doing there. And look, this is the thing. You really have to blame the teams. Because if you are thinking, why are you talking about Gordon DL's abseil or his
no
life
goals
in Sheffield, or Hugh Keevan's been on a bus with a sheep? Like, it's their fault, because we don't have any goals to talk about.
Exactly. So, you've got to give us the excitement so we can talk about it.
I've always thought that people enjoyed that side of a Saturday anyway.
What?
Why worry yourself about insignificant things like goals when you can hear about Steve
Kinsey
who Fraser played with at St Mirren in 1992, apparently.
Is that right? Yes, did you play with St Mirren? Did you come up to St Mirren? Oh, well.
My favourite revelation of the week was that Nat Phillips' dad
was Jimmy Phillips.
Played for Rangers.
I knew it was a jolly left back.
Were you there at that time, no?
No, Jimmy Phillips,
right,
no.
Okay. And did he make his debut against Celtic?
Yeah.
Same way that Nat might do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good story, that, isn't it?
Do you remember him? He was a good player.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Phillips was a good player. Yeah.
Is that true about the debut as well? Have I added that detail on? I think it is.
I think Jimmy's boy has to play tomorrow.
Can't be many father and son duos that have represented opposite sides of that divide.
I worked with one. I worked with the late Dougie Bailey, who played for Rangers, and his son Lex Bailey played for Celtic.
A student of the game. Any more? Anyone? No?
No, I wouldn't.
Great, well done. That's us all out.
I tell you what, Sid, Simon Donnelly texts me. He makes a good point when talking about the abseiling. He says, tell Daz you don't need climbing boots when you're descending.
You need wings.
Should have wear climbing boots. No, we're going down the building. No, up. So it's a good point made by Simon.
But you need a bit of grip. You need something when you see, I'm going to spring off the wall. And then,
you know, I think we need to stop discussing this because we clearly know very little about it. I don't even think there's a wall by the looks of what people are sending me.
Of course you do.
No, I think it's just like a rope. We're just like lowering ourselves off like a crane that happens to be at Silverburn.
We're not getting the sensation of a Tom Cruise. And then you're in the window.
I don't think people are sitting in the M&S cafe and you are going to go flying past the window.
And then they stand up with their cans of Coke. Coca-Cola down here, a Dazzler coming.
Where's that?
I remember. Here he comes.
I'll call him Spider-Man after this.
Coca-Cola can.
Candy Coke. Here he comes.
What a way to put you off your Victoria sponge. Fraser's right. Brothers Colin and Tom McAdam played against each other. Yeah. Old Firm games. But this, the father and son on opposite sides. I can't be many. Cannot be, surely.
Dougie Bailey had to go and write the match report on the Rangers-Celtic game when his son was playing for Celtic.
Was Dougie Bailey centre-back?
Dougie Bailey was a centre-back.
There you go.
Now sadly no longer with us. But Lex, you remember Lex Bailey?
Yes, I do. I think I played against Lex Bailey.
Big hardy boy.
Yeah, I think I played against Lex Bailey.
Yep, became a police.
That's right. Ronnie McDonald became a policeman as well, didn't he? Played
Roddy, yeah.
Roddy, you call him Ronnie?
R. McDonald.
Why can you never get anybody's name right?
Ronald. Ronald McDonald. And by the way, I'll tell you why, your string of restaurants are doing well.
We were playing golf yesterday, right? I don't know if you realise this, and a guy we were playing with, it was called Campbell. You called him Cameron about three times in a row, and I don't even think he picked up. I was embarrassed for you.
He doesn't do names. Very well,
that name's only good for me.
Good shot, Cameron. His name's Cam. Daz cleaned up at the golf day yesterday.
I noticed you were playing with M&D Green Pharmacy, who are great supporters of the show. And I walk into this office today to find a brand spanking new shiny putter waiting for you that you apparently won. I would felt like snapping it in half. I don't like to see that type of happiness come to you.
Oh, so listen, hold on a minute. I also won another prize that I didn't receive, £25. Now, who loves coffee in
you,
this?
You, right, more than anyone.
So I had to leave because I had a prior engagement later on. And my man here, who picks up most of my trophies for me, he picks up my putter and he phones me and says, "You've also won a Costa gift card, £25.
Pocketed it.
How many's good lady were in Costa last night with two latties, let me tell you.
Couple of muffins and a sandwich. Exactly. But I said to him, listen, if I'm picking this up, you're getting one or the other. What do you want?
So, but hold on a minute, you've got all the golf clubs anyone could wish for. You've always got the best of gear. You've won this brand new putter. Surely you're either going to give it away to charity for free, or who's the guy that usually gets your hand-me-down clubs? Mark Wilson. We just spoke about him getting shamed by the caddy at Loch Lomond a couple of weeks ago.
He's got a Donny wage that he's by
helm. So he needs your help.
No, he needs to just sit back, relax and say, I need to spend some money and start from scratch.
No.
He's pulling out for hand-me-downs.
Anyway, did you have a good day yesterday? Did you? Good on you.
Brilliant.
It's amazing. Delighted for you. What about yourself, Gordon? Because you were also invited.
But transfer deadline day. Places to be. You're a busy man. I was with Brendan.
If any other members listening from Glasgow, I'd just like to say I really appreciate it. Their golf course. And me and Mark would like to play again.
There we are. More detail for you. Jimmy Simpson, Ranger captain. Ronnie son Simpson. Ronnie Simpson, yeah. There we go. CMM has hit us with that one. People will be thinking that's the teaser. It's not. Just sometimes these things come up. On the actual teaser, Hugh, remind us of the question.
Can you name the last seven players to score in the first Old Firm game of the season? That's the important thing to remember. The first Old Firm game of the season. Who are the last seven to do it?
Right, let's see if we can get some wrong answers, just so that we can point you in the right direction. That's the way we tend to do things, so that if you need a bit of help, we can tell you where you're going wrong. Liam, Oh, Liam's way out, I think, on the time, Hugh. For a lot of these, he's gone Stevie Naismith.
No.
Oh. Kyle Lafferty.
Oh, nah, nah, come nah, back nah, to nah, the nah, dark nah. ages.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, we're very recent. JB, I can see he's thinking, because he's thrown in some big hitters of this fixture in Moussa Dembele.
Not there.
And Tom Rogic.
Not there.
They're all more recently than that. Okay, that's something that you have to really bear in mind.
Yeah.
We're doing all right, Hugh. Yeah.
We're okay.
We've got about five.
Right. Ant and Deck have got...
Five?
Six?
We've one to get?
Yep,
one to get.
Tell you what, loads of people are flying with this. Really flying with that question. So keep going at Clyde SSB, see what you can give us. Conor Randall booked cynical challenge in the centre circle. The old stopping a promising attack. So Ross County, the Ross County man on a bit of a tightrope there. What are you tutting at?
Ugh, Mark's just going to be silly answers now.
Alloa 1, Cove 0. Conor Salmon with the goal there for Alloa. The Ackies are one up at Stirling Albion. Ewan Henderson's first goal for the club.
Going well, the Ackies, yeah.
Yeah, not lost a goal yet.
That's your stat for the weekend, isn't it?
Full point.
Did you hear that last night when we discussed it?
What's that?
Only team in Britain who've not conceded
yet. Conceded a goal.
The thing is, someone told me that and I've not even bothered to check, and I just keep passing it off as my own.
No, I like it.
It's there. I'm looking at league table. That's the one.
John got manager of the month, didn't he?
Yep.
Is St John's the only team in Scotland not to score a goal?
It's a great question.
Oh, there's someone for you.
Yeah. Oh, your old team have been pegged back.
1-1.
Not Sheffield United.
Race.
City,
Man City.
City 1, Fulham 1.
Didn't happen in my day.
Queen's Park are down to 10 men. It's a great name, if that counts for anything. Will Tizzard has been sent off on the 33rd minute. Straight red.
His nickname's got to be Wizard, surely.
And you would have to imagine.
It's got to be.
Yeah, surely.
Will Tizzard, never heard him before. Good start for Queen's Park this season, but
until they met Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
And then the wheels came off, and they may drop off the top today if Dundee United win and they lose.
Yeah. Certainly looking that way, Hugh, so far.
The mighty Jag's still a goal down at Capello.
Everyone, Fraser Wishart, David Friel, all sort of complaining, if that's the right word, or bemoaning a lack of quality attacking play so far in their games. Hopefully things do look up. Stranraer 2, Peter Head 0, Kyle Fleming on 33 minutes. See, there,
two of the three Premiership games have been played on artificial surfaces, and on a day like today, very, very difficult.
Bone dry.
Yeah, very difficult.
Just blame that. That's it. We'll put it down to
There's
that.
There's no excuse for St Johnstone and Dundee. They're just both rotten.
Well, and the Fraser's there.
Actually, yeah. Though, I thought, to be fair, I was delighted to get out and about and see a game last weekend. Went to Dens on Sunday.
Do you know one of my favourite?
They were actually all right. You know, Dundee were okay. Hearts,
woeful.
No. Not good.
I think Mark's got to disagree with that. Okay. One of my favourite grounds to play.
Oh, I'll disagree with you as well.
Do you?
I mean,
I used to love the pitch.
Oh no! No.
I love playing at Dens.
No. Don't take this the wrong way, Dundee.
Listen, this just as we're say what you really say. Just as we're talking them up. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Goal, Dundee. Amadou Bakayoko opens the scoring in the Tayside Derby, and we have breakthrough in the Scottish Premiership. So there we are. The home side do take the lead, building on that victory against Hearts last weekend. Header across the keeper into the left hand corner from Robertson's cross. Dundee lead by a goal to nil.
Well, you called it, Gordon. You said that you watched them last week and you were quite impressed with what you've seen. Obviously, Tony Docks brought in a lot of new players up there, and that's a good start against what you've got to say a real struggling St Johnstone.
Let's defend
side.
The good people of Kilmarnock. Gabriel says, Kelly, we're watering that pitch pre-game, to be fair. Do you know who's interested me for Dundee? He is a good player, but it was actually for a much more non-football related reason. Owen Beck,
okay,
left back, Dundee, on loan from Liverpool, right? My eyesight's not great, so this maybe contributed. He just looks like Andy Robertson. So it so happens that he's like a left back from Liverpool, but he moves like him. His hair is that sort of way that Andy Robertson's was when he broke through at Dundee United. He's kind of small, quick, like gets about. He was really good.
Good
players don't tell me he wears number 26.
No. That was where the similarity ends. VAR check on that goal for Dundee.
Oh, surely.
I mean, everything gets checked, but I guess this is more than a silent check. as they call it. John Beaton is the VAR. Penalty Ross County on the freshly watered rugby park surface. So a chance there. Simon Murray goes down. Again, that will be checked. Goal given.
Scott Tiffany.
Well, I don't know who's got the final touch, but there's a debate there. I would always trust Fraser Wishart.
Fraser
certainly
knows his stuff. Yeah. He knows the players inside out. He wouldn't get that wrong.
You'd like to think not. Just inside the box, Simon Murray. And he's not sure which defender.
Is that a penalty?
It is. So again, they could look at it to see whether it was inside the box or not. The Jags are level. Morton 1, Partick Thistle 1. Stephen Lawless. See his ball last week for one of the Thistle goals, or was it a couple of weeks ago? He's been in good form, so he's pulled Thistle level at Capello.
Stephen Lawless seems like a player that will be playing 20 years' time still.
Yeah. He'll
be at Partick Thistle, then he'll go to Livy, and then he's just about for years. I'm sure I played against him. Must have done.
Yeah, you would have been kid at Motherwell, and then
yeah.
Beano's 2-0 down. Hamilton Aki's Kevin O'Hara has scored. Stirling Albion 0, Hamilton 2. What else have we got here? Right, still VAR's checking that Ross County penalty again. Well, let me check all penalties awarded, but just to see what's happening. Maybe the debate is about whether it was inside the box. Yeah, he's alright, he's gone over to the TV. It's got nothing to do then with whether it's inside or outside the box, because that's what they call a factual check. So the ref might be about to overturn a penalty that he gave by checking on the monitor, which is fine. That's what
I
it's
like
there
that
for.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, it's supposed to be about getting the right
Kevin
verdict.
Clancy.
Very experienced referee, Kevin. He'll get this one correct.
No penalty. Very quick look at Kevin Clancy, and there we are. Fair enough. No penalty. So
well, that's why it's there. You know, mistakes like that from the referee, there's nothing wrong with referees making mistakes, as long as they use the VAR to then go and check it and rectify it. So well done, because it can't be easy. Imagine you as a player playing and somebody says to you, come and see this mistake that you've made on the TV 10 seconds later, and you have to admit, yep, I was in the wrong. Not easy.
Yeah, but that, you know, it's there. VAR is there because the naked eye was found to be insufficient, and with the naked eye he gave the penalty, and with the help of technology he took it back again.
A bit of pressure now from St Mirren, but not really getting much happening there. Nubly and Olusunya getting a lecture for a disagreement, David Friel calls it. Bonnie Rig Rose one up on Elgin as we approach the half time whistle. Let's do some more wrong answers quickly, Hugh. We'll give them a sort of 2 minute warning on this teaser.
Can you name the last 7 players to score in the first Old Firm game of the season?
Tell you what, the standard of answer is very, very high on here. I will say that much. Bailey wants to mention Alfredo Morelos.
And you can, but you'd be wrong.
Olivier and Cham.
Not there either.
Okay.
We've got them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
we're in the podium.
Did Alfredo Morelos ever get his move to Fenerbahce at the end of the window? I don't think he did.
He was talking about a club in Mexico then.
He was meant to be joining Ryan Kent, wasn't he? Maybe it wasn't to play. Maybe it was just to look after his crocodile.
Has Kent started well? Do we know? How's he adapted to life away from Rangers?
Gordon Dier doesn't even watch football that's in his own doorstep.
I know.
Although, to be fair, if MD's telly's got the Fenerbahce games, it'll be yours.
I don't know how he started, but he certainly can't get in the bath with a light out.
By the way, speaking about VAR, did you see we're not the only sport to have trouble? Did you see tennis has brought it in, haven't they? At the US Open, Dan?
What do you mean?
VAR, is that not?
Always had Hawkeye, what do you mean?
No, but I think VAR is in now, right, of some sort. But I think I'm pretty sure Andy Murray had a go at it, because on one of the first outings, I didn't give the
right
answer.
He called it a farce.
Yeah, farce, yeah. So we're not the only sport to have problems.
Yeah, there you go. I thought we had another. Well, it was actually a stat from Dave Galloway, which I don't mind, because I think it's interesting in the context of Airdrie, who are very good at what they do, and it's a, you know, they try and build up play and pass from the back and stuff, and it's great, but it sometimes shows you that when you come up against more difficult opposition. Dundee United have had 75% possession against Airdrie.
Wow.
That's very high, isn't it? Well, unless unless Airdrie have done the worst thing you can do, taking your advice, and they've tried to adapt and do something a bit different because they're at Tannadice.
We'll have to hear Dave's report because that may be the case. Otherwise, if they've tried to stick to passing it back and Dundee United have just got better players who can press in a better system and win the ball back, then it becomes pretty relentless.
That is the Mark Wilson derby, really.
I'm surprised some of the big TV companies didn't ask me to go and cover that. But
do the halftime draw, perhaps.
Yeah, with Terry the Terror Tiger.
Is that who that is?
Terry the Terror. Aye, the mascot.
Is it still that though? Because sometimes they change, don't they?
Well, there was a baby.
They get rebranded.
There was a baby tiger cutting about with Terry as well.
Still appears to be, as far as I can gather.
Is the wee mascot still there? Don't know. Dundee United was the first one to do that. So they had Terry the tiger. It was obviously a regular sized tiger. And then they had the wee
baby tiger.
I had the baby tiger. Used to cut about. I don't know if it was a.
Well, that was the same year, wasn't it? We had the panda and Paphos, or whatever you call them. What do you call them?
Chaos.
Paphos. That's in Cyprus.
Chaos. We had the panda and Chaos.
Bonnie Rigg Rose 2 up against Elgin City. It's the latest goal to go in Scotland. I think we'll just round this off, Hugh. Will we? Let's get stuck in.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The last seven players to score in the first Old Firm game of the season are Lille Abada, Jota, David Turnbull, Philip Helanda, Connor Goldson, Odson Edward, and Johnny Hayes.
There we go, well done. If you got all them correct, I will be very impressed, and lots of you did. Third place was Dylan Patton. A bit quicker was Mark O'Brien, and quicker still was Jamie Costello. Did you get him?
Yeah, all seven.
Surprised. Yeah,
I must admit.
Yeah, very knowledgeable about these games, aren't we, Gordon?
Yep.
Okay, he didn't emphasize.
Yeah, great detail added to Mark Wilson's question. Stirling Albion pull one back, Josh Cooper on 44 minutes. It's a good game that, by the sounds of it, at Forth Bank. Oh, and the Ackies have conceded.
Oh,
there we go. The stat is over. Oh, it was a good run while it lasted. There we go.
What's the score now? Hamilton 2-1.
I'd literally just said 2-1.
Did you?
You don't listen.
It's not tuned in.
Doesn't listen to anyone, which is problematic.
Which is a bad
on a speech radio show.
Yeah, for radio. He's just engrossed in the games that are going on all around about us. That's him thinking of tactics.
He's engrossed in his phone.
So there's one other negative stat that still stands. That's St Johnstone, who are yet to score a goal in the league this season. 3.5 games
but,
in.
You know, and the weird thing about that is the closest it may have came was last week, Celtic, with the two chances at Joe Hart saves.
And they are the only side. No, they're not. Cheltenham Town, bottom of English League One.
Oh,
apparently. Have they scored today yet though? That's what we need to see. The race is on. How are Cheltenham looking at the moment?
Good town up, Cheltenham, especially in race week.
I mean, Aberystwyth apparently, but with no disrespect to the Welsh League, I'm unwilling to include that for the purposes of this stat. So Cheltenham Town, bottom of English League One. Maybe they're one up though. We'll have to get a look. Just the 9 minutes added at Livingston for David Friel.
That was
just a real bad one. Oh, Cheltenham still 0-0 for those of you who care.
David Friel will still be watching that game then when the Bragometer opens at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, he always gets sent to the late games. Have you noticed that? Like I said, I don't think we should be making jokes about it as such, because it looked like a really serious one for Andrew Shinney, and we hope he's fine. 3 minutes added in Perth for Fraser. He's at least got a goal as Dundee leads St Johnstone heading into that break.
You never like to see a player leave the pitch on a stretcher with a head brace.
Time for Marv to earn his money.
As you can beat.
Half time.
2-0.
2-0 down. But this is where he usually works his magic. They always come out and get a goal.
He comes out and gets a goal.
This is when he moves from the Palmerston Pep to the Poundland Pep.
If I was a club that was playing St Mirren next week, I'd ask David Friel for a report. How many times has he watched St Mirren this season? He's seen them nearly every single week.
Well, the season's like 3 weeks old, isn't it? So it's not.
Cup games as well.
Hugely dramatic games. So far.
He's been everywhere.
Ange Ball's back in front. No, it hasn't gone in front, I should say, for the first time. 2-1 at Burnley, we said.
Well, he got beat with Fulham and penalties the other night there.
I'll tell you, incidentally, we're not the only wacky races. When Ange went out of the Carabao Cup midweek to Fulham penalty shootout, the first voice I heard was a guy saying, "Does he understand the job? Does he understand?"
Because he rested. Yeah. Rested a
player. Where was the guy from?
At the same time.
London.
It's also the week that Robbie Williams is singing a song for him.
It's the best song in football.
You take the rough with the smooth a bit, don't you?
I think that's the best song in football.
Did someone not ask? They, to broad brush down the road, are slowly learning that you obviously have to be ready for Ange Postecoglou in press conference situations. And it's never easy, but I think someone asked him if he had heard of Robbie Williams.
Oh, no. That must have went down.
You can imagine.
Terribly with Ange.
Right.
Was the word mate in his answer?
Akeem Rose has equalised for Ayr United at Arbroath. 48 minutes gone there as well. The old good time to score cliche. McGregor burst through on the left, but fired across goal and wide, so it stays Dundee United 1, Airdrie 0 there. And I just wonder if we'll get anything before the break at Rugby Park. We do, but it's just a booking for Simon Murray for a high boot on Stuart Finlay.
Real lack of action in our top flight, really. And to be honest, when you looked at those fixtures, you know, you're looking at them thinking, is there going to be a lot of goals today? It's proven no, of course.
So far, that is a...
You worked that one out all by yourself.
It's taken me 47 minutes to do it, but I got there.
Yeah, it's not been vintage. Let's find out the eyewitness account. Fraser Wishart's at least got a goal at McDermott Park.
I have got a goal, Gordon. St Johnson 0, Dundee 1. Dundee deservedly ahead, to be honest with you. I think the scoreline reflects the game as they've been the better side, and not much quality from the home side in the first 45 minutes. Sierra Leone striker Amadou Bakayoko headed his team into the lead. Not too many chances to tell you about. Dundee the better team from the off. Joe Shaughnessy headed over from 12 yards, probably feeling he should have done better. Then young left back Owen Beck drove forward, did really well, past a couple of players, set up Tiffany on the left hand side. His low cross was held by Mitov, with Bakayoko and Robinson just hovering to try and score the goal. Mitov then dropped a McGee cross to the back post, and Scott Tiffany should probably have done better than turn the loose ball wide. He had more time than he actually thought. Little from St Johnson at the other end, plenty of pace. Turner, Cook and Costello, young lads he brought in loan, but no end product when they get into a good area. Stevie May, busy as always, but getting frustrated, as did the St Johnston fans, at the lack of action from their team. And on the half hour, Amadou Bakayoko came into the game. He had Mito scrambling across goal. The big striker made a yard and curled a lovely left foot shot just inches wide. But he did open the scoring in 36 minutes. Owen Beck had a free kick on the left hand side. He took it short to Finlay Robertson, who hung the ball up to the back post. Bakayoko headed the ball back across Mito, perhaps looking for his teammates, and the ball ended up in the back of the net at the left hand corner. Scott Tiffany did swing at the ball, and I think that's why VAR checked. If he'd got a touch, he'd been offside, but he didn't, and Willie Collum gave the goal. And that was only a really serious effort, a goal by either side. Low Dundee did look lightly, and the pace of Tiffany has been a real threat throughout this 45 minutes. But St Johnson still haven't scored, as Hugh was saying, this season, and haven't looked likely to do so far. Not in one effort at goal, and Stephen McLean might need to turn to the bench to get back into the game somehow. Half time, it's McDermott Park, St Johnson 0, Dundee 1.
Half time, Kilmarnock. Here's Gabriel.
Yep, it's goalless here in Sonny Ayrshire, Gordon. Not many chances for either side, despite an end-to-end opening to the match. The biggest moment of the half was when Simon Murray, at the county forward, appeared to be nicked by a Killy defender just inside the box. Kevin Clancy pointed straight to the spot, although it did appear to be soft. Killy players were certain it wasn't a spot kick, and once Clancy was sent over to the monitor by the VAR, he only needed a few looks at it to reverse his decision. No penalty. And that's what the technology is there for. Brad Lyons just had a shot saved on the stroke of the half there from an outswinging Killy free kick from the right. Probably the best effort of the half, to be honest. It has been a scrappy 45. A couple of bookings for county players as well. There's been plenty of block shots. The ball bouncing about in both boxes after set pieces. It's been an even game. Possession is close to 50-50. Not many saves for either goalkeeper to make, but the 3 points are there to be won by either side. A big second half coming up, Gordon. At the interval, Kilmarnock 0, Ross County 0.
Still waiting on the other games because of the additional time, but I'll tell you, one man who's not waiting is Hugh Keevans. He's gone digging in to his half-time treat already. We did say a couple of weeks ago that the guys were going to try something different, maybe not have the half-time pies all the time. You tried couscous for the first time last week. Yep. I feel like we should make this a half-time feature on the show. I am alarmed at your choice for today. Creamy garlic mushrooms. Yeah. That's it.
You're alarmed.
That have spells a trouble for us.
Look at me and Wilson's face. We're storming a gas mask on.
That's it. Like, it's just, that's it. Like,
I can smell
just
that.
It's like a bowl, a tub, a plastic.
Surely mushrooms are a side dish to go with the main event. It's mushrooms.
Look, I've got the label here. Creamy garlic mushrooms. That's
you can,
it. Just
you
a bowl
smell of modern man, and it's a very warm day out there.
On a warm day, you're eating mushrooms. Who else eats mushrooms on a warm day? Save the ice lollies. Get a tub of mushrooms.
I'm waiting till all your pies come in to watch you.
Lift that whatever you call that lid to get a picture of that. I'll stick that on Instagram.
I like mushrooms, Hugh, and I like garlic and cream, but that looks rank.
Yeah. What I'll do, Hugh, terrible. When we go to a break, I'll describe that.
Anyway, right, so we've given you two half time stories. I wonder actually, because it was so long added on in those two games, maybe we should actually take a breather and we can get back to the halftime reports. Although Dave Galloway shouldn't be too far away, is he? Oh no, he had a long break as well. Right, halftime from the other two games coming next.